Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
Now, we are going into another dimension of the message we started in the morning, Sons of God. Understanding our placements as sons. Understanding our placements as sons. Help me tell somebody by your side, I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. So when I serve, I'm a son who is serving. So when I devote myself to God and dedicate my life for his service, I'm a son who deliberately made himself a bond servant. Not by compulsion, but delightful dedication. Say, I'm a son. If you're a son, shout, I'm a son. Give him Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to verse 17 is our text. Now, while we are reading this, pay very close attention. Pay attention. Very, very close. Pay attention to the details. We are going to pick out major truths, foundational truths concerning the heels. Is that right? Okay, before we read, we defined some Greek word that is related to children, sons, and different things. You remember? So those of you that are here in the morning, shout it loud so that people that were not here in the morning will hear it. What's the first word we define in the Greek? Technon. And we say they are what? So whenever the Bible uses technon, that's the Greek, you're going to see it translated as children, but that's not all they translate as children. So it's children by what? By birth. So we said if a child is 3 months, is the child technon? If a child is 3 years, is the child technon? If the person is 30 years, is the person technon? At 50 years, so you will forever, even at 70 years, be the technon of your father and mother, the ones who birthed you. If they gave birth to you, you are their technon. So technon is descriptive of children on the basis of birth. On the basis of birth. So when the Bible says you are born of God, it's saying we are the technons of God. Oh, everyone who is born of God, lift your hands and say, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. What's the second word we define? Breakfast. So now we have settled by birth. These other words are now descriptive of children or child based on all humans, based on maturity, level of growth, years, and maturity. years and maturity. And sometimes years and maturity go together. For example, a 10-year-old child, no matter how, will continue to be immature by the virtue of being 10 years. There are certain foolish things the 10-year-old will do by the virtue. So, but the point is that people can get to 40 years and still remain fools. You can have 40-year immature people. So sometimes immaturity and maturity goes with the years, but sometimes it doesn't go with the years. When people are now supposed to have become this, they are not that. Wave your hands if you're getting me. All right. So we said the first one is what? The second one is what? Breakfast. What's breakfast? I'm not hearing you. Newborn or infants. Newborn, as newborn babes, desire the sincere meaning of the word. So when you are talking about, I'm not going to go back to that message. I just want us to note that because it's going to affect the things we are going to bring out now. So there are things. The only thing you give to infants is what? Meal. Even when you want to now start introducing food later, you put your hands in the soup, you put it on there, let them start tasting food so that when it's time for their system to accept solid food, they can accept it. But you start them with milk. Some are even advised to do one full year exclusive. That's infancy. Where the child can not even sometimes sit on his own. You have to be waging it. What's the next word? Oh, inspire me here. Come on. I thank God for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I want to know that you're with me. The next one is what? Nepios. What do we say nepios is? Immature children. Immature children. And that can be by the reason of age or by the reason of at your own. So a nepios can be a 10-year-old child. So that child is immature by the reason of age. But someone can grow in age and not grow in mind, not grow in wisdom. So you can have 50-year-old nepios. And this is very serious because even though you may seldom see it naturally, it is very prevalent spiritually. There are a whole lot of people who are pastors that are nepios. And you can see it in their congregation. When a pastor is in nepios, the congregation, you will see it. So the position you are in the church and how long you've been attending church doesn't determine your growth spiritually. It is the investment you open your heart to that the Holy Spirit continuously makes into you that determines. That investment the Holy Spirit makes in you that determines your growth. For example, study to show yourself approved of God. It means be diligent. It's not be diligent. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly what? There are people who are 10-year-old Christians. I didn't say you're 10-year-old natural. So from the time you gave your life to Christ till now, it's 10 years. There are people that have been going to church as Christians from their childhood. They're in their 20s, they're in their 30s, they're in their 40s, they're in their 50s. They don't know the scriptures. The only thing they know is by fire, by fire. The only thing they know is I receive, I receive. The only thing they know is I claim, I name it. The only thing they know is so I'm calling different styles, so it's not one person. The only thing they know is parito soprekeke kote kapa lepeleka iko. If you listen to them pray, they use tongues not as weapons but as escape. Tell them not to speak in tongues and pray with their understanding for 30 minutes without speaking in tongues. It will expose them. Just start any prayer point. That's good. I always start with worship, thanksgiving, and tongues. When the prophetic now needs to come out, thus says the Lord, it is written. They can't say it is written. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who are they? Nepios. There are pastors that if you remove them from the stage when they are with a mic, that thing that is moving them are two things. Gifts. And the gifts of God are without repentance. So no matter what, the gift will work. Then the second thing is adrenaline. Stage performance stirs your adrenaline. And it sometimes it acts as if it's anointing. It's not anointing. Now you, they charge. Holy Spirit, they watch you. How you know nobody got healed? Everybody shouted, got tired. People went back with the cases they came with. No change is happening. There are pastors that if you give them mic, Christians, if you give them mic to lead prayers, they will be shouting, fire, fire. Now lie. Bring them out. Let them pray. On their own, they can pray. Someone who is a pastor and doesn't know prolonged times of fasting and prayer, doesn't know how to stay and abide 7 hours, 8 hours, and much more. I don't like using time. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest enemy to your growth is short prayers. Because it takes a lot of time for the Holy Spirit to do the surgery he needs to do. When you start praying, the first thing that starts happening is yourself. God starts dealing with you before he starts dealing with what you are praying with. A whole lot of things. The clouds of carnality, the clouds of worries and anxiety, the clouds of sometimes it, depending on your walk with God and how effective it is, that's what determines the time before you now transcend to certain places where there is a flow in the spirit. And many people don't stay long, tarry to go there. The whole lot of people that their prayers for the past 20 years has been in the outer court. Dimension of the operations of the spirit. For over 10 years, they've never been brought into an encounter where the heavens opened in prayer. They don't know there is anything like that. They've never been brought to a place where the portals of the prophetic is enabled by the Holy Spirit. And words are coming out of their mouth that they have no control of. Holy men speaking, not knowing what they are saying. Where your mind has nothing to do with what's coming out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit has taken over. Words are coming, not just tongues. I'm not talking of tongues. I'm talking of words. Coming out and flowing out, but you are not the one speaking. There are Christians that have never on their own for a long time known what it means to transcend in prayer to the point where groans. The Holy Spirit takes over. That dimension of prayer is not tongues. Groaning in the Spirit is not tongues. They are now in that place where is called deep sighs. The Lord is holy, mighty, present, his glory in the temple. Let the earth be silent. Your mouth is silent. All you'll be hearing here, with tears, you want to talk. Certain times, it's as if you're almost crossing a line. It is at that moment you know what we call the fear of God. These things I'm saying is a strange thing to a lot of people. Nothing makes a mockery of your Christianity like short prayers. Let me tell you a secret. The secret is you can come out and speak just one sentence and tremendous power will be made available. Dynamic is working. You can come out at a moment and pray just for a minute. Pray for 5 minutes. But let me tell you a secret. Those that you see that just speak a word and Jesus casts out the spirit with a word, go and try it. You dare not try that nonsense. If you have not done what Jesus always did to be able to do that, Jesus, God, needed to pray all night. At different times, he will send people and want to be alone with the Father. Go and check by the scriptures the record of his praying lifestyle, his commitment to praying, to even go to the cross where he would die. He needed the night of prayer such that you and I know he came to them 3 times and said, won't you tarry with me for what? An hour. That's meaning that prayer time is least is 3 hours, but it's more than, because he had prayed before coming. Hours. The Bible says it is with the agony of the heart and with strong tears that he was heard. Jesus needed strong tears to be heard. You are pressing for lagu supratoko. Jesus needed it. You, that all the movies you have watched, the environment you are coming from, the different people you have met, religion has reset your mind. Both errors preach as gospel. Look at all the things God needs to deal with before you will be able to pray accurately. That's you praying 30 minutes, pressing for in Jesus' name, you walk out. There are people that if you just start prayer now, in 30 minutes, 1 hour, you will see a few of them. Thank God with there are maybe new people and who are yet on their process to grow. I don't see that in this church. Maybe once in a while I'll look at somebody and I'll know the person is a new person. The person will just sit down and start pressing for. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Once in a while, a few people that I know, the Lord will tell me, go and check their updates. And I'll see them posting things while service is going on their updates. Some even post their companies and their businesses. And I'll check the time exactly. Sometimes message is going on. Sometimes praise and worship is going on. Sometimes, and I'll smile. Don't ever ask a question, what is wrong? You know what is wrong. The day you start taking God seriously, things will change. Stop playing. You know what is wrong. Stop playing and think that things just happens. Tell your neighbor, nothing just happens. Say again, nothing just happens. Say it again. Nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. So the secret is this. Those short prayers of 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes become potent, effective, operative. When it is on the foundation of long, prolonged prayer. So people who come out in the open and just say one word, or pray short prayers when they are driving, or say one short prayer. You know, sometimes they're just about to go into a meeting, they're negotiating, and the Spirit of the Lord will stay in their hearts. Take authority over the spirit of greed. Take authority over every charm that the other guys came with to confuse. Every spirit of delusion and illusion that will confuse people so they can negotiate, they can do the negotiation to their own advantage and cheat you out of the rightful thing. And then you just go outside and say, excuse me. And in 3 minutes, not loud, and you just tear it in a little and say, in the name of Jesus. And you take authority. And that thing is effective. Those who operate like that and you see it work are those who spend long time in prayers that you don't see. When they now make short prayers, you think that's all it is. For a man to come on the stage and he just noticed when he said, Father, the atmosphere changes. That thing is not just coming from shouting, Father. There is somewhere. Say with me, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The effective, I love the way the Amplified puts it. He said the effective, heartfelt, fervent. Then he said continued. It means persevering. Prayer, you must pray to the point you hit the point. There must be objectivity in prayer. There must be objectivity in prayer. And when you notice that you're struggling to pray, it's a simple thing. It's not demons that is worrying you. Demons are afraid of you. What do you need to do? They congest and they clutter. Put off your TV. Put off your phones. Put off your laptops, except for the work you do there. Get off social media. Go on a fast straight. Not just with food, but with every other thing that you can do without. If you're not on social media for 10 days, will you die? Except that's the place you do your work. You go, do the work, and do what? Come out. Don't check any other post. Don't do nothing else. The cluster. Go on a fast immediately. Why you're finding it difficult to pray is that the flesh is gaining ascendancy. And when I mean the flesh, I mean the disposition of carnality of the mind. You're feeding on carnal things and you're growing the disposition of your mind, tilting it towards the natural. The natural struggles with spiritual things. And that's one of the power of fasting. Immediately, bam! And like an engine you have not started, you will not just start immediately and it works. Stay there. If you do it for 2 days, it doesn't work, extend it to next 5 days. If you are not hit it, remember, pray to the point you hit the point. You know what you want. You know where you want to. So keep doing that until you get there. Now, how many people are showing themselves approved? And immature children, there is this much God can do with them. No matter how you love a child, and no matter the inheritance that is his, no matter what you want to give that child, a responsible father or mother knows You can only and you should give that person only things they can handle based on their level of what? There are things you're fasting about, crying about. You have bought oil, finish it on your head. You have used mantle. You know they work. You have even experienced miracles, testified. But the miracles are like intervention plan, relief plan, rescue plan. It's for this, it's for that. But at the end of the sharing the testimony, you still go back because there is a difference between I received a miracle than this is my life. This is what I am living. My experience day to day. You have come to the waters of perfection. You have come to the waters of perfection. Amen. What you're hearing are not ordinary words. As you're hearing it, you're being empowered and strengthened to manifest it. You're becoming what you're hearing now. Amen. We're not just here to give instruction. We are here by the Spirit to do construction. What you're hearing is prophetic. The word of God is living and active. Able and powerful. The word of God will make you what he says of you. The word of God will make of you, will make of you what he says of you. Lift your hands and shout, I am becoming.
I am becoming.
Come on, shout it again. Say, I am becoming. Say it, I am becoming. Say, perfection is at work in me. Come on, shout it. Say, perfection is at work in me. I'm being established. Complete, lacking nothing. Whoever received this, shout your loudest, amen. Shout your loudest, amen. After Nepios, what's the next one? Shout it loud. What do we say heels is? Huh? So you now know the difference. Maturity characterized by growth. And that's what we call perfect. Perfect, when you hear the word say perfect, it means mature. Those who have come of full age. And then after he was, we said what? Pater, fathers. So that's the journey of our growth spiritually. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. First. Hold that neighbor. So pay attention because you're going to see when I will use technon and when I use heels. You need to understand that. Read out loud to that neighbor. I want the person's ear to tingle. Want to go? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons. Who can tell me the Greek word used for sons there? What? So mark it. The Greek word used there is heels. It's very important. Another thing I want you to mark is led by the Spirit. These ones are led by the Spirit. That means they follow the dictates of the Spirit. They live their life by the persuasions of the Holy Spirit. Is what the Holy Spirit, I said it in this morning, you've heard all these things. When I hear Christians who have been trained, taught, done a whole lot of things, and they say, Pastor, I just prayed about this, and I believe I have peace in my heart, and I just want to follow my heart. Now, that is not totally out of place. But that's very dangerous. So when you operate that way, that determines the place the Lord will place you, where you will operate under. Because there are certain places you will get into, it become too dangerous for you. Because that statement is a statement of the Nepios. We don't follow. God is greater than our hearts. Your heart and what your heart is leading you to do doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. Your heart is not the Holy Spirit. So there are many who are led by their hearts, and it has destroyed things because they were led by their heart. There are many who are led by their feelings. I can't count not one, not two, not three. People, you come. Okay, let me leave that other one. Let me leave that. Have you heard people who just come in, destroy their home, destroy everything by just saying, I stop feeling no abuse, no disloyalty, broken covenants, no deception, nothing. I just stop feeling anything for you. Someone engaged someone for 7 good years. Made the person Lord of the Rings. Put ring go for years. And then woke up one morning and said, I can't explain. I'm sorry. They will even try to be decent. He knows he's the monster. He will say, he knows he's a monster. And you deserve better. Think, just feeling like if they can say that, that's okay. He said, what? I just feel. Whenever you hear people use feelings to make choices, you know where they come. Sons don't feel in making choices. Their feelings are there. They have it. But they have practiced the word of God, exercised their spirit enough to be able to discern between good and evil. So they know the word of God. They can feel one way and act against their feelings. Because they know the truth of God's word. That feeling doesn't align with the truth of God's word. Doesn't align with sound doctrine. Because we see believers who will bend the scriptures. They will thwart the scriptures. Bend it to suit their... And then they will call on other people and even have pastors cancel them. How do I know? They used to come here. Recently, I have not received any. Maybe because they have been saying it on the stage. They now know there is no market here. They will come and tell me, Pastor, they are not a member of this church. And then they will start with washing your head. I have never seen a man preach like you. I've never seen a man who preaches the word with accuracy, with this, with that. And then they will watch, this church is awesome. But they have something they want to tell me. Then they will start talking about their own church, talk about their pastor or their pastor's wife, and talk about the things they did and different things that have been going on. And they now want to take this step, but that the Holy Spirit said they should come and see me so I can advise them. Lord, already I'm a raised child. So I have always one answer. First of all, I don't allow them to finish what they have to say. Once I get to the point and I notice where they are going, I end it immediately. Then I give them one answer. I said, I cannot give you any advice. Neither can I give you any counsel that will be balanced, pure, and truthful. Because I do not have the correct information. All you told me is what you want me to hear. I have to hear the whole other side. Can I hear from your pastor? People are advising people on what they told you someone is doing to them without you knowing whether it's actually truth. What they are seeking for me to say is, you mean your pastor did that? He will not say, yes, pastor. I said, that's not, I'm a man of God. I respect men of God, but that's not right. When a man wants to do the right, wrong thing, he starts looking for believers and pastors that will help embolden, suit the reason they are coming to you is that their conscience is already telling them it's wrong. They need additional voices to silence the Holy Spirit. You know that what I'm saying is true. That when you tell stories about what people did to you, that you paint it in the way it favors you. And you never say what you did wrong. You know now, tell yourself, to thy own self be true. I don't give advice for such people. I will not be a partaker of their sin. I will not be a partaker of their sin. Some will say, you mean it? If not me, if I don't work out sins for my peace of mind. He said, now so I talk him. I just needed a witness. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three. So he will go and meet two or three people who are nepios. They are sincere. They are not bad people. They are not evil. They are not trying to give wrong counsel. But they are untrained in the spirit. They have not been built on sound doctrine. They have not been established on the pillars and ground of truth. Their Christianity is sensationalism and emotionalism. That's their Christianity. So watch that. Someone say, led. Shout it louder. Say, led. Shout it louder. Say, led. By what? By the Spirit. Get me back. Come on. So let's go to verse 15. Is making the walk easier now. Watch. Hold your neighbor. Don't leave those hands. They are blessed hands. Read verse 15 and read it very loud. One to go. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Shout it louder.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear.
So tell your neighbor, there is a spirit that keeps men in bondage. In slavery. In fear. Oh, were you people blessed with thinking like sons, not slaves? What about dealing with the orphan spirit? Powerful. I'm not an orphan. We have not received the spirit of timidity. Now, person where they uncle house, auntie house, brother house, sister house, that doesn't even know if they have accepted him fully. Now they tiptoe, very careful. He no go fit open pot collect food. Auntie go ask him, did they give me money for food? But person where they come from, he papa house, where in papa love him, in mama love him. As he they enter, he said, what you now get for this house? If he go open pot, call it one made them. The mother will use scarf and leave that meat every day. You are meat. Leave that meat. And he said, mommy, mommy, mommy. And they'll be playing with it. Go and collect meat from brother house. They will use you for village meeting. You're getting the sick. So many Christians are acting as if their relationship with God is with brother. No boldness. No boldness. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. It's called fearful slavery. Keep reading to that neighbor. Really shout it to them. But what? There is a spirit that makes us see God not as judge, even though he is the judge of all. There is a spirit that sees us, that makes us see God not just as a ruler, even though he's the ruler of the universe, of the heavens and the earth. Even beneath the earth, he's under his dominion. There is a spirit that makes us see God as Father. Did you notice from beginning to end in Jesus' days, physically walking the streets of Galilee and Jerusalem, what did he call God? Father. I want you to go and make a little more research about the word Abba. The word Abba for the Hebrew is like Aramaic, but the Hebrews use it a lot. When a Jew says Abba, what the person is not calling like Nam. No. He's invoking the intimate relationship bound by covenant, love, and faithfulness that exists between him and his Father. It's an intimate, emotional word. It's colorized with intimacy, covenant of faithfulness. It's a word that is spoken out of a deep sense of love, acceptance, and irrevocable covenant that this one will never despise me or disown me. It's not the way you call your daddy that acts anyhow. But you call him daddy. Daddy. Or daddy. Or pa. Or papa. Or nam. Whatever you use. Or pale. Or popsy. But you can be talking to some of you. I say, see, popsy just popsy just the, I don't understand. Popsy just there. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So when that spirit of adoption, the word adoption of sons, heotesia, we'll get there. But that spirit of adoption is at work. It moves your heart to see God. He didn't say we call out. No, it's not we call him. We cry. Crying is an expression of emotion. There is a conviction, rootedness. God is my Father. Not Father because he came and carried me and decided to help me, and now I'm calling him the Father I see. No, Father, he sourced me. I'm a technon of God by birth. By birth. And he's not just my judge. He's my loving Father. We cry out, Abba Father. Every son of God, lift your hands with all boldness. As you cry out, he answers, Abba Father. Shout it out. Of you, we hear your child in trouble and he's calling you daddy, mommy. How many of you, anyway, if you have had children, you if you have children, you understand me. From afar, in the midst of 20 people, you can pick out the voice of your child. If you know how to call Abba, if you know how to call Abba, if you know how to cry out, Abba. Go to verse 16. Want to go? So the spirit of adoption moves us to cry, Abba. How does he do it? By bearing witness. Watch this, watch this. We are moving from sons. Those that are led by the spirit are the heirs of God. And now he comes back. Go to verse 15 so they can see where we are going. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. Now he moves into another 10. He's trying to say something. The spirit himself does this by bearing witness in our or with our spirit. There is a conviction, irrefutable, irrevocable, unwavering conviction that we are the technos. Only technos. Technos. That we are the children of God. So you see, he's now coming to characterize what he's saying by birth, that we are born of God. Because not everybody attains heels. Watch the word I use, attains. There is a placement for heels. So when he says we are, he now uses the Greek word technos. Everybody here are all technos of God. But as we walk with God by our choices, our decisions, what we open up to for the Holy Spirit to walk in us and out of us, how we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, the choices we make to grow, the investment and commitment, the diligence we put. There are people here who are technons and are breathless because you're just new converts. You just gave your life to Christ. So spiritually, you're an infant. There are people who are technons here and you're on the pews because you just gave your life to Christ not quite long ago. And certain things that will get you into heels in terms of placement, in terms of placement, we are all legally heels, but not all vitally heels. So there is still time with God is working on you. And so you are nepios. There are people who are here that are nepios, not because by age they should be spiritually, but because of their stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, resistance of God, ignorance, their complacency and spiritual laziness, they are not growing. So even though they are even leaders, they are even pastors, they are even different things, they are nepios. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Say, I get it. Then there are people that are here that are heels. And there are people that are here that are pata. Different levels of growth. But one thing is sure, we all are technos of God. Help me find 7 people, the number of perfection, and tell them we are technos of God. Now, let's finish up with it. Verse 17. This is the crux of the matter. All of these things is for a purpose. Look at what it is. Read out loud. Want to go. And if... Which children do you think is using there?
technos.
By birth.
Then what?
That means everyone born, every single person born is an heir. Once you are born again, you now have an inheritance. Everything God is and has belongs to you. Everything I and my wife have belongs to our children. All. Even when we bless others, it's called settlement. And the Abraham settled different people and gave all he had to what? And then the most important that can be quantified by anything earthly, who carried the blessing? Isaac. He handed over to Isaac. Inheritance. Somebody shout inheritance. Who can give me one inheritance in God, you know? Shout loud. Divine health. Yes. Who can give me another one? Life. Supernatural. What else? Prosperity. Peace. Righteousness. So you are seeing righteousness, who God is. Holiness, who God is. Love, who God is. God is love. Everything God is now yours. So when you read God is, I am. It belongs to me. Then we now have all that God has. God has power. Power. He has power to create. That means I have power. He creates the heavens and the earth. I create on the earth. He has given us this jurisdiction. This is where we play. God has power to command light to shine out of darkness. I have power to command light to shine out of darkness. That's why Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. Then turned to his disciples and said, you are the light of the world. What I am, you are. As he is. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. That's my inheritance. Revelation, knowledge of God is my inheritance. I know God. And I have an inheritance to know him and to continue to increase his knowledge until the day of perfection, when I will know him as he has known me on that last day. On the fullness of time, I will keep growing to know him. Divine direction comes with illumination. I have an inheritance of divine that I can never be confused in my life. Never be confused in my life. Let me show you a scripture. Psalms chapter 89. Let me start from verse 21. Hold your neighbor and read. Want to go? With whom my hand shall be blessed. Okay, get me from 20 first. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. I have found my servant David, who is called the son of David. Who is called the son of David? Who has the key of David? Who sits on the throne of David? So that word prophetically is talking about who? Jesus. I have found my servant David. Continue. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. Verse 21. Shall be what? And also my arm. So is establishment part of your inheritance? Is the anointing part of your inheritance? do you have to beg for your inheritance? Somebody said he prayed and prayed for the anointing. I said, I understand. I said, your experience is not wrong. I understand what you're saying, but there are different routes to the same place. You took a longer route. And I didn't this. I didn't despise the person. I didn't mock his experience, because I could be in that same place if not for the revelations of God, which came by the mercy of God. I was not born this way. Someone had to teach me rightly. Today, I was thanking one of my aunts, who is the wife of one of the men that God used to teach me. Teach me. I always say it. I'm a man that flies on the wings of grace. I'm standing on shoulders of grace. The things I see in my life, there is no way ordinarily I could have achieved it myself. I'm a product of the intercession of just men. People prayed for me. Hey! Hey! Until now, people are praying for me. I'm doing what I'm doing because there is an army of intercessors behind me and by my side. They are the hidden heroes we don't see. So when you thank Pastor David and you celebrate Pastor David, please take a special time to thank men who said yes so this man can stand. There are people God used to raise me. There are people that had to go through things. And the reason God took them through that purpose is now there are things God has taken us through because there is a generation coming after us. The baton will keep being passed over and over. Today I say, Lord, I receive abundance of grace not to fail the next generation. Because I am today because the other generation that came from my family fought. Most times when you see outstanding men of God, go and ask for their family, their mother, their father, their uncle somewhere. They are coming from a rich heritage of men and women of God who are warriors in the spirit. They may not have money, but they have things precious than money. More precious than money. They may not have all the pomp and poise. They are not broke, because godly men are not broke. They are not struggling. But they may not have popularity, but in heaven they are well known. So when their voice rings out, heaven uses their voice to set the program for the next generation. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. Verse 22. Stand on your feet. Verse 22. One to go. I'm not hearing you. Now, you know what it means? The enemy shall not exert upon him. That's an inheritance. Nor the son of wickedness. The enemy.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.
I'll beat down what? I'm plague. I'm plague. I'm plague. I'm plague. I contend with those who contend with them. That's why he says, keep loving your enemy. You know why? Don't dirty your hands. I'm the only one that can handle good and evil and not be corrupted by evil. Don't love them. Pray for them. Bless them. When they need water, give them a cup of water. When you do so, you heap coals of fire. What's that coals of fire? You attract my judgment. Leave battle. Don't pay evil with evil. Leave God who vindicates the righteous. If you do it, you will be like them. Don't become what you hate. Don't become what you hate because someone else did it to you. He said, "Now me get your back. My glory is your rear guard. Move forward, face front." Did he notice? He didn't say front guard. He said rear guard means go forward. Don't look back. I have your back. Hey, God's got my back. There is an inheritance we have in Christ. Anybody that wants to fall fast, fight us. If you want to start having problems, you don't know where they come from, start talking about me. If you believe I'm just talking, try it for 1 month. You will start dealing with problems you don't know where it came from. And I won't know. I'll just be singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll just be praising God, honoring God. He spares me that distraction and keeps me in his love and in his mercy. So I can extend the same love and mercy to others. Don't attack those who attack you. Somebody gossiped about you. Don't use the gossip you hear to now start gossiping. Don't become the same thing they did to you. The Lord my God fights my battles. And when he reveals in your spirit, and when he stirs your heart and tells you, my son, now take authority, execute judgment, you do that. Because you are led by this. You are not an enemy hunter. Stop catching enemies everywhere. Everybody you see. Enemy level 20. Enemy. Stop that. Verse 24. But my faithfulness and mercy shall be with you. So while I'm dealing with his foes, my faithfulness and mercy shall be with him. And in my name, his horn, give him glory. So, you know, our inheritance is inexhaustible. Words are not enough. So that's why the singer said, he wants to praise God and call him name. He said, but vocabulary is perfect. If we want to talk about inheritance, they are indescribable, unsearchable. The Bible calls it the unsearchable riches. Now, the one you see today, you know. Tomorrow, you will show again. When you think you have come to the end, he unveils another dimension. So with that, read that Romans again, the last verse. And so you understand it, and then we pray in the spirit. Everybody read, one to go. And if children, heirs. So when I'm reading heirs, what I'm hearing is, the enemy shall not exert upon me. Everything God prophesied of Jesus is now my inheritance. Heirs of who? And joint heirs with who? If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with you. Oh, find 2-3 people and begin to pray in tongues. Hold their hands, the ones on fire. If somebody by your side is not on fire, find somebody else. Pray in the spirit, pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.